most of you know the view I'm going to try to present tonight, but many of you are not familiar with Mr. Neubauer, Holger. So the best way I can understand, I'm going to tell you his view, and then the discussion will proceed from there. He basically believes, 1 Corinthians 11, talking about the covering, verses 2 through 16, is there's a cultural aspect of this, and so it depends upon the culture. We normally call that the custom view. In addition to that, he also believes that hair is the primary covering spoken about in the passage. We're familiar, I think, all of us, with the hair position, except his is slightly modified from what we're normally used to. He believes that the hair is the primary covering, but if a woman had short hair, for example, if she were converted with short hair, or let's say she cut her hair and she repented, then he believes, at least at that time, that she would have to wear a veil until it threw out. But then it's all modified again by the cultural thing. So in the discussion tonight, if I get time, you'll see me trying to attack both positions, the custom view and the hair view, the hair only view. Because I believe, as you probably already know, that the passage teaches that a woman ought to have long hair at all times, and she ought to have a veil on that is an artificial covering. It's of a temporary nature. The Bible says in verse 5 that she ought to have that when she prays or prophesies. When her hair grows out, assuming she had it long, that's good, that's what ought to happen, but that doesn't mean that she can take her veil off, because as long as she needs to pray or prophesy, she's going to need to wear the veil. I'm going to start now with some charts that I have on the cultural aspect of the custom thing, because that takes me through the text. Basically, almost the whole text, except for maybe two verses, are on the charts, and so by the time we get through these, if we do, we'll have gone through the text. Number one, Brent. First of all, I want you to notice.
Besides the custom.
Hair. Custom is the little one. I'm sorry, I don't have it later. First of all, you'll notice in verses 3 through 5 of 1 Corinthians 11 that the Bible teaches that a woman ought to be covered because of what I call the order of headship. That is, the man is the head of the woman. Let's read that. It's on the chart. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Dishonoreth Christ, that's his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Her head, in this case, is man. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now, what we have here, as I said, the Bible teaches that the woman ought to be covered because of the order of headship. Because the man is the head of the woman. Now, I ask the folder, is man still the head of the woman? Well, some of our more liberal brethren are saying no to that question nowadays, and they allow, therefore, women preachers and women elders. Holger knows about this. He's having to fight this even more than we are, probably. They say that women can be preachers and elders because that man is not the head of woman anymore. That was just the way it was back then. In that culture, the man was the head of the woman, but it's not that way anymore. Therefore, it doesn't apply today. But Holger agrees with me that it does still apply. The reason given for the covering in this passage is because man is the head of woman. He agrees that still applies. And if it does, therefore, the verse teaches, therefore, the woman ought to be covered. You can't have one without the other, Holger. You can't have headship without the covering. Brent, number two. And then we go on to verse 6, and actually you'll see the end of verse 5 here. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 5b through verse 6 teaches that a man ought to wear the covering because to be uncovered is shameful, like being shorn or shaven. Let's read that. At the end of verse 5, it says, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, verse 6, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. The Bible teaches here that it's just as shameful or shameful in a like way for a woman to be uncovered when she prays or prophesies. It's just as shameful as if her hair were shorn or shaven. Now, I'm going to ask Holger. Holger, is it still a shame for a woman to be shaven? Is it still a shame for a woman to be shaven? Would you approve if a woman shaved her head? I'm not talking about if all her hair fell out because she had cancer treatments. I'm talking about if she shaved her head because she wanted to be a rock star or whatever. Don't you think that would be shameful? I do. Well, this verse then teaches that the covering, whatever it is, that the covering still applies because it says it's just as shameful as if a woman had a shaven head. And if it's still a shame for a woman to shave her head, then it's still a shame for a woman not to be covered. Later in the passage, the Bible teaches that a woman ought to have long hair. So it's going to apply all the time. There's not going to be a time when it's okay for a woman to shave her head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, will forbid that forever. Now, when it says in verse 6, if it be a shame for a woman to be short or shaven, let her be covered. The if there, if, is in the sense of, Brent, raise it up, in the sense of since, S-I-N-C-E. Paul's not really leaving it up to them. He's saying, since it's a shame for a woman to be short or shaven, let her be covered. It's not left up to the reader. And so a woman today should be covered, even today, Brent. And then let's go on in the text. Verse 7 says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So the man ought not be covered, because he was created in the image and glory of God, while the woman, in distinction with that, the woman was created in the image of man. Holger, let me ask you a question. Has anything changed, raise it up, Brent, anything changed about this reason for the covering? Has anything changed about this reason for the covering? Does God still recognize this fact of creation, the fact of creation that man was created in the image and glory of God, but the woman was created in the image of man? Does God still recognize this fact of creation when assigning man and women their roles? And the covering still applies today. Great. On number 4 now, Holger. In the next two verses, we have what I call the order of creation argument. Verses 89 of 1 Corinthians 11. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Well, the basic idea is here is that the reason the woman needs to be covered and the man uncovered is because the man was created first, and the woman was created second, and the man was created for the woman, not vice versa. Now raise it up for you. I want to compare this to 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13, Holger, since both you and I are very much against women preachers. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 12 makes this very same argument against women preachers. Paul uses the same argument for the covering that he does in 1 Timothy 2 against women preachers. Let's read 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. It's on my chart, but it's in your Bible. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Tommy, you keep my time. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's the command. The command is that a woman should not teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now here is one of the reasons given for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Do you see any significant difference in that reason and the reason that we read about in verses 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians 11? Does anybody see any significant difference, especially in regards to whether either of these practices were cultural? When I mean either practice, I mean the covering and no women preachers. I don't see any significant difference. They're both saying, we're going to do this because the man was created first and the woman was created for the man. We've got to have the covering on because of that. We've got to have no women preachers because of that. Since it is the same argument for both practices, if one practice does not apply anymore, Holger, then neither does the other. You see, my opponent, to be consistent, must accept women preachers. He's saying the covering is cultural. He's got brethren, and so do I, probably, that say that the prohibition against women preachers, women elders, was just cultural. Well, Holger, the Bible uses the very same reasons to argue for both. So if one is cultural, if those reasons were only cultural in nature, then both of them are cultural. To be consistent, you're going to have to accept women preachers. And I'm going to show you that many Christians are saying that. Brent, next chart. Fred Hardeman had a forum in 1990 where they had two gospel preachers argue in favor of women preachers, and I think elders, and two more conservative preachers argue against it. Now, this is a quote I took out of the book from that forum, okay? Now, the quote is, first of all, from one of the preachers who was arguing against women preachers, okay? Evidently, they brought up 1 Timothy 2 against it, and evidently, Holger, the more liberal brethren, said, that's just cultural. Now, let's notice what the conservative preacher said. These scriptures are not tied to culture. They are tied to creation. I do not know how they can say that this is a cultural matter when at least these two instances, and probably three, is tied to creation. It's tied to creation. It's tied to creation. You know how and then he gives this verse, 1 Timothy 2, 12 through 15. It's not cultural because it says the woman came from the man and the woman was deceived in the transgression. He's just giving his paraphrase of the reason that a woman cannot be a preacher. Stated in 1 Timothy 2. Raise it up some, man. Now here's how the liberal preachers, and I mean by that the gospel preachers arguing for women preachers in the forum, in the debate. Here's their reply. Well, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul bases his discussion on whether women should wear veils on the doctrine of creation and the order that exists between God and woman. You know what about that? This preacher was right in the sense that the argument is made the same in both places. He was right. The conservative preacher said, this is not cultural, that is the prohibition against women preachers. It's not a cultural argument, it's tied to creation. And then the liberal preacher, Palmer, the one advocating women preachers, says, well, 1 Corinthians 11 in the covering, the same argument is made, but you don't accept the covering. That's what he was basically getting at. Well, Hogan, he could see it. That liberal preacher could see it. That both of these stand or fall together because they're both based upon the same reasons. As we've already read, here's 1 Corinthians 11, 3, verses 7 through 9, showing that. In the next chart, here's another Christian. What he had to say, got this off the internet. This guy named Brad Castile, plays it up for me. February 29, 1996. Okay, now, here's what he said. I'm going to just read it. And what I want you to notice is that he's basically saying that it's okay for women to be preachers today because it was just cultural back then, the prohibition. He said, it's the same reason that the covering is not required on women today, because that was just cultural. It's my opinion that they objected, women preachers, back then, because it was the custom of the day for women to remain silent in public assemblies and let their husbands speak for them. And they were offended that some of the Corinthian women were violating this custom. Notice in parentheses what he puts here. I interpret the issue of married women wearing a head covering the same light. Now, he interprets it the same way. Hover, you interpret the head covering the same way, but you don't interpret the women preachers the same way. Rather than allow the issue to cause disruption within the church, Paul upheld the social custom of the day. And that's what he said about women preachers. That's what Hover says about the cover. It is perfectly proper for churches to expect their members to adhere to societal norms and customs, as long as they're not in conflict with God's will, of course, and we would agree with that. But we don't agree that that's what the case of women preachers, nor the covering Hover. And I think that is exactly the point that Paul was making when he wrote that women should remain silent in the assembly. Of course, he's referring to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. And then notice, and when he wrote that married women should wear a covering for their heads to show their subjection to their husbands. You see, that puts them in the same boat. Why does it do that? Because the Bible puts them in the same boat. The same arguments are used to support both teachings. If I'm correct, then the churches need to reconsider whether or not the command for women to keep silent in the assembly is still applicable. Now that the social conventions regarding the proper conduct of women in public have changed. Hover, if you're going to reject the covering based upon the cultural argument, you need to reconsider whether or not the command for women to keep silent in the assembly is still applicable. Fred, now let's move on to the next verse. Now what I'm trying to establish in this, just going through the verses, what I'm trying to establish is that every reason, not just part of them, but every reason that Paul gives for the covering is not cultural or local custom in nature. You see, it's like it's tied to creation or to headship or something like that. Let's read verse 10. 1 Corinthians 11. For this calls off the woman to have power or a sign of authority on her head because of the angels. Here's another reason, sort of a mysterious reason, I will grant. Holger, a woman is to have a covering on because of the angels. Holger, can you say for sure that reason doesn't apply anymore? Can you? You know, I think if everybody here were truthful, we would all just probably have to say nobody knows for sure what that even means. So how can we say for sure that the cause of the angels was cultural in nature, and therefore a woman doesn't have to wear the covering anymore? We don't even know what he means by the cause of the angels. To understand the passage, we don't have to know what he means. But Holger, you cannot say that this was cultural in nature because you don't even understand for sure what Paul meant by this. Now, people can speculate, but they cannot tell us for sure what Paul meant. The covering still applies today because of the angels. The angels are still there. They haven't gone away. Correct. And then in verse 13 through 15, as you see the title of my chart, the artificial covering is needed by the same gender as the natural covering. That's Paul's argument. 1 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 teaches that a woman ought to wear the artificial covering. A woman ought to wear the artificial covering because she is the one, not the man, given the natural covering of long hair. Let's read the passage. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is the glory of her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now here's Paul's argument. Here's what it is, essentially. Look, God has given women, not men, the long hair as a natural or permanent covering. That ought to tell you, Corinthians, that when it comes to the artificial or temporary covering, the one needed when you pray or prophesy, God wants the woman covered, not the man. He's saying, who should be covered, the woman or the man, when they pray or prophesy? Well, look out there in the natural world. Who has the covering? The woman. Therefore, when we're talking about the artificial covering, it should be the woman, not the man. Now, hold your answer to this question. Are women still supposed to have longer hair to begin today? Are they? Now, if you answer no, then maybe you'll have a point here, and we'll just take this argument down. But if you answer yes, then you're in effect admitting that the veil is still required today. The veil is still required today because it's required because women are still supposed to have longer hair than men today. Brent? And then the last point, I believe, the reason that Paul gives for the covering, in verse 16. If any man seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Many times the misaligned passage, if you look at it carefully, you'll see the proper understanding. He's not saying that the covering was a custom. He's saying that here's a man that's contentious against what he was teaching, and they don't have the custom that this man is contending for. If any man is contentious, we have no such custom. The custom the man is contending for. And then notice what he says. We have no such custom or no such practice, neither the churches of God. That little phrase right there shows you that it's not a local custom. Let's look very quickly at a few passages in 1 Corinthians that have basically saying the same thing. 1 Corinthians 4:17 is on the chart. He says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Do you see that? Whatever he was talking about there, he's saying, this is not just a local thing. This is what we teach in every church. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, and so ordain I in all churches. Whatever he's teaching there, this is something that's universal, not a local custom. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. In all three of these places, we can see that he's saying, this is not just me teaching this, or this is not just for you, this is for everybody. It's not a local thing. That's what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. If any man is going to argue against this, we don't accept what he's saying. We don't have his custom. Neither the churches of God, meaning all the churches, practice the covering and the long hair of women. It's not just for you, the Corinthian church. It's all the churches. Holger, that shows right there it's not a custom or a cultural thing. He's saying, just like in all these other passages, including on the one on marriage, this is not a local custom. This is practiced by all the churches, what I'm teaching here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I want you to notice something. Let's go back to the contentious thing. What was the contentious man contending for or against? Holger, do you know what he was contending against? He was contending against the woman wearing the covering and or the woman having long hair. Now that's what Holger's contending against tonight. You're contending tonight for exactly what the contentious man of verse 16 was contending for. Do you see that? Now, I see what Paul said about that man. I wonder what Paul would say about you since you're contending for the same thing the contentious man was contending for. And Brent? And so here, this is what I asked chart in this series. Gives a summary of what we've been over. The following is a summary of reasons that the Bible gives for the covering. I'm just summarizing what I've already been through. Verses 3 through 5a, headship, man, the head of woman. In other words, the woman ought to be covered because of this. Headship, because man is the head of woman. I can ask the audience again, in summary, is man still the head of woman? Then the covering still applies. Second reason, it's a shame not to be covered. Black, short, or shaven head. Is it over? Still a shame for a woman to be shaven? Yes, it is. Therefore, it's still a shame for a woman to pray without a veil, uncovered. Verse 7, man, the image and glory of God, woman, the glory of man. Holger, has this fact changed? Of course not. Now, if the reason for the covering has not changed, and it certainly wasn't cultural in nature, then the covering has not changed. It still applies. Verses 8 and 9, order and purpose of creation. Has the order and purpose changed, Holger? Obviously not. You know what my point is. Therefore, the covering is still applied. Because of the angels, does that still apply, Holger? Verses 13 through 15, nature's teaching about the hair. Do women generally still have longer hair than men? Are they supposed to? Well, of course, that hasn't changed. Then neither has the covering. He's talking verse 11. Over. And then Paul says, we have no practice different than the covering. Again, showing universality, not local custom. Now I want to bring up one last point before my time runs out. My opponent must prove all of these reasons are temporary in nature. If he were to prove one of them were temporary, he'd still have five more to go. He's got to prove all of them. And Mark, I'm going to try to get to your illustration when I have time. Illustrating that he has to show all of them, not just one. But instead, none of these reasons are temporary or based upon local custom. All of the reasons are permanent and still apply today. So then does the cover. Thanks very much.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to stand before you tonight to deny the proposition you prepared in your hearing just a few moments ago, because I simply do not believe that a woman must pray with an artificial covering in order to be right in God's sight. And I am here, and the burden is upon me tonight, to prove Brother Donahue has stated a false doctrine. He has stated something which is not taught in Scripture. The Bible teaches that we are to prove all things. He has to prove the fact in Scripture. He hasn't done it tonight, as we will discover from the Bible itself. And what we need to do as we're studying the Bible tonight is to make sure that we're consistent in all of the revelation, to be honest in our evaluation of the text. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. The first and foremost characteristic that a good Bible student must have is honesty, absolute honesty with the text, and deal with it fairly. Now tonight, Brother Donahue likens my position to those who deny male leadership. He likens my position on the covering to those who are vying for women leaders in the church, women preachers and women elders, women deacons. I deny that with every ounce of my being. I do not believe that they are parallel. And as we look to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we find the overall context demands every honest Bible believer to see that when a woman teaches over a man, she violates that principle of the order of creation. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Why, Paul? Adam was first formed, then Eve. However, brethren, we must be honest to see there are at least some particulars of that passage that you and I would not press. Let me give you for instance. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, let men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to know, do the men in this assembly lift up their hands when they pray? Do you, Brother Donahue? Do you lift up your hands when they pray? Do you see that this passage is linked to the creation? Do you see here in this particular passage that if you do not lift up your hands, you have denied the creation? Because Paul would then finalize the argument in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12. Or can you see that the overall picture is simply this, that the woman is never to teach over a man? That was never true since the beginning. However, there's a particular in that passage which is exceedingly cultural. We know in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8 that is cultural because Jesus knelt in Luke chapter 22. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 25, a man falls on his face. So I know, beyond any shadow of any doubt, that the posture of prayer is a matter of indifference. There is a particular of the overall passage which is not applicable. And I believe that is parallel to the 1 Corinthians 11 issue. Now, Brother Donahue has said a great deal about simply linking the covering to the beginning of the creation. The covering had to do with the beginning of the creation. Because when women cut their hair at Corinth, they identified with the rebels of society, and they upset what Paul was speaking about in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. It's a natural order of things. God, Christ, the man, and the woman. Now how that manifests itself, culture to culture, is different. But that ought never be upset. And when the women cut their hair at Corinth, they upset that order. Now that has application in different ways and in different societies. In Japan, that order would teach us if it's right for a woman to step 10 spaces before her husband, and that is what is understood, then she ought to obey that. And if she would, she then upset the order of 1 Corinthians 11. Do I believe in male leadership? Absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt. I would debate any man anywhere on that particular proposition. However, the particulars, let us be honest. Let us now, Ron, go to my chart. Number 4, please. Number 4. I'm not going to address this particular position. This is the crux of the matter. Here is the detail, Brother Donahue, that you must address tonight. And you must be consistent with, and you must be honest with. The fact of the matter is, that Paul says, God's not even nature. It shall teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now, last time in Cookville, you wanted to make a great argument on this word even. I suspect you won't do that tonight because you have found that the original language does not make the kind of distinction that you made in Cookville. The Bible says that nature teaches you it is shame for a man to have long hair. There's one of two possibilities. Either he's talking about intrinsic nature, the way that God created the man and the woman from the beginning of time, or he is talking about the order of society, the order of that particular day. Ephesians 2 and verse 3 tells us, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, it's obvious that they were the children of wrath, not because they were born that way. They had learned that way by habit. We all can see that unless we've got some Calvinistic people in the assembly tonight. And if that's the case, then you need to give up your false doctrine on Calvinism. We're not born as sinners. They had learned that. The Bible is its own best interpreter. This is the Greek word thousis. Again, Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law,
broke my corner in Cookville, almost broke my leg tonight.
But by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Well, it's obvious that the Gentiles did not learn what they did concerning the things contained in the law, did not learn those things by being born with them. They did so by habit.
Every society unravels unless there's some kind of standard of morality by which they want to adhere to. You have lying and cheating and killing and that kind of a thing. You have society unravel itself.
They have learned from the habit of things. Now Paul is either saying that's the way it was since the beginning of time, or he's saying, I want you to understand that the order of things demands that you understand. It's a shame for a man to look like that. It's a shame for a man to have long hair because of nature. Because that's the way it was understood at the time the Apostle Paul delivered this message to them. Sometimes it can have reference to something which is intrinsic, like homosexuality, where we find that the women exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. Here we find that they violate the principle from the beginning. God created the man and the woman, and the man and the woman fit. Hearts fit, the man. And so either Paul is saying it's that way from the beginning, or it's the order of society. Well, which one is it?
Let's go to the next transparency.
And Pat, I want you to deal with this tonight, friends. I want you to understand that if God started an eternal principle from the beginning, it is linked to the creation, then if it's for every society, then she has to have a covering on in the garden. If it were taught in the Garden of Eden, then pray tell why in the Old Testament she didn't have a veil on while she prayed and she prophesied. Produce the passage where that is the case. If it is from the beginning of time, then he's not going to give a special dispensation to break that particular order. He's not going to give a special dispensation for homosexuals. And Brother Donahue, I want you to answer this question for me tonight. Can God give a special dispensation to the homosexuals? If he created man for woman and woman for man, can God, does he have the liberty to let homosexuals violate themselves under some kind of special dispensation of grace in the Old Testament? He does not. Therefore, I know that care is a matter of indifference. It is a matter of culture. Just like dress is a matter of culture. Why do we have a hard time seeing that hair is a matter of culture when dress is a matter of culture? Do you recognize that in the Old Testament the men wore skirts? Now, suppose Brother Donahue came in the assembly tonight with a skirt on. I suggest to you that if he did, he would have shamed himself and shamed his head, namely the Lord. They wore skirts in the Old Testament. It is a sign of femininity today. Male leadership is always taught. Female submission is always taught. But the particulars of how that manifests itself would change from time to time. The Nazarite vow is ample evidence that God was not saying from the beginning of time that man, if he has long hair, it's a shame. Because if he did, God gave a special dispensation for a man to grow his hair. Like with Samson, like with Samuel. They're all ample evidence of that fact. They all had long hair, Brother Donahue. Now, man teaching over women never changed. You produced a passage where there's an authorization for women to stand over men, to have authority over them, to teach over them. You will never produce the passage. And so in 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, I know that particular principle is constant. It will not change. However, the matter of hair is a matter of indifference. It changes from culture to culture to culture. I want his chart number 9, please. Now he says, 1 Corinthians 4:17, I teach every way out of the upper church. Yes, this principle is taught in every church. Male leadership, women's submission, but the particulars are going to be different. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Now, did you have a foot washing or a feet washing service recently? Obviously, Jesus spoke about a time of need. How do I know that from the context? Verse 10, John chapter 13, we find Jesus coming to Peter, and he will not wash his hands and his head because they're clean. He only washed dirty feet. And to wash clean feet is superfluous. It simply doesn't work. Yes, it ordains in all the churches the very same principles. However, how that's applied is going to be different. Are you suggesting that men are to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, that that is the same kind of a thing for every single church? That is a matter of indifference. Let me tell you why the holy hands were talked about in 1 Timothy 2. That's the way they did it, most of the time, to lead in the assembly. Do you remember in Acts chapter 21 and verse 40? Paul beckoned the crowd with a hand, and there's a great silence that came over the assembly. The reason being is because when one raised his hand or hands, something solemn was to begin. Someone was going to declare the word of God.
in the assemblies men were to do it. How does that translate to the New Testament church? Well, that means if there's any leadership going to take place in the church, the men have to do it. The women better not even be standing before or in back of the emblems. They better not be standing before the congregation. They better not even give the announcements. They better have no leadership role in the church. That is the application of 1 Timothy 2, although we can all see the particular item of 1 Timothy 2 in verse 8 has changed. It simply will not work. Now, Paul was simply saying that nature itself is the teacher. If a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now let me make this principle about the parabolian covered in verse 15. Let's go to the next chart. Thank you. Number six, I believe.
What's this for me?
Oliver's truck said, sorry. Truck stop. I notice what he's going to say. The man have long hair is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, in the first century, Paul was saying, respect the order of things. I want you to understand something from the specific application of the teaching. If she has long hair, her hair is given her for a covering. The papalupto covering of the previous verses is of such a nature that it can either be hair or an artificial covering. Nothing is specified in verse 5. Nothing is specified in verse 6. Nothing is specified with exactness concerning the nature of that covering. We have to let the context tell us what the covering is. Now, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. This is the Greek word parabolia. In Cookville, Brother Donahue made a great deal about this particular word. It's a different word. This word, although the other, katapolupto, can have reference to both, this in Scripture only has reference to an artificial garment, a literal physical covering. Never does it have any reference to anything else. Hebrews 1 and verse 12, the Bible speaks about a vesture, this long garment. The Hebrew writer is saying that God is going to wrap them up. It's like a long garment. He's going to change his garments from the old to the new covenant. The parabolian is, as it's understood in Scripture, a long garment. Now Paul is simply saying this. Her hair is given her for a covering. If she has her covering, then she's covered while she prays and she prophesies. If she doesn't have this covering, then she's not covered when she prays or she prophesies, and she has to put something on. That's how I understand it. And it is also the case that it has to do with the order of the day. Do I believe it's wrong in this society for a woman to look like the rock stars? Yes, I do. Donahue, because she's not following the order of things, not only in the hair. Not only in the hair. If she looks like a rebel in any other way, she also violates the principle of this particular passage in verse 14. She violates it to the core. It's not only a matter of having a hair and then a covering. And I noticed that some of the ladies, I don't mean to be hard at some of the ladies wearing a covering tonight, but you know, I teach my brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever I get the opportunity, they ought to cover themselves when they go out in public. God said something about the thigh being covered in Exodus 28:42. The upper torso is included in that in John 21, verse 6. But you know what some of the brethren do? Rather than cover themselves, they put little sheer stuff on you. You can see right through. Now, how is it the case, if you're talking about a covering, that we get something sheer and see right through it, suggest it's a cover? When in fact, if they did that with the rest of the body, it would be an utter shame. I think that's altogether inconsistent. If she has her covering, then she doesn't need the other covering. The ultimate principle is in the order of society. If she looks like a prostitute, then she ought not dress like a prostitute anymore. If a young man doth not wear a pantsuit. Now that means this. That as culture changes, as it changes, male dominion is always there. But the particular how she dresses is going to change so long as she doesn't identify with the rebels. Therefore, in 100 years from now, if all men wear skirts, guess what? Brethren, you better be wearing skirts. If all the decent men ought to be wearing skirts, then you wear skirts. And if all the decent women ought to